A lot of folks found it difficult to stay in their seats. Praise God. We praise Him while I'm here. Praise. I come to praise. I come to lift up my hands. I come to thank you. I come to worship you. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And let's go down to the 12th verse. Wherefore, I will not neglect to put you always in remembrance of these things. Though you know them and be established in the present truth. Yes, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, and even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown. I want to speak with you a little while this morning, knowing, choosing, and doing the will of God.
All right.
Knowing, choosing, and doing the will of God.
All right.
Peter is writing here to Christians to let them know that he knows that they already know what God has brought through. They already know that they were on their way to hell and through Jesus Christ shedding of blood on the cross, that they now have an opportunity for glory and eternal life. He's telling them these things. It's not like they don't know it. And he says that I know you already know these things, but I'm just going to continue to put it in your remembrance. I guess it's sort of like that. Sometimes you have a preacher who preaches the same thing several times during the year. I heard that one before.
Come on.
I guess what Peter was saying, I've preached this before. But I'm going to continue to remind you of the special thing that God has done for you. Because somehow by just knowing all of that, by knowing all of that, it's going to change who you are and how you respond. We're so thankful that you're going to try your best to be what He would have you to be. Peter, you know, loves to talk about faith. He said faith is precious. It's better than gold. But then here he's telling us that there's virtues that we add to that faith. And as we add those virtues, as we become more and more filled with these special features, if you will, we become more and more what God would have us be. He refers to it as the divine nature. Peter is preaching to folks who already knew who God was. But he was preaching to them because somehow, I guess he felt that they might be getting sort of like those people at the church of Laodicea. You know, they were lukewarm. Sometimes you just want them to get lukewarm.
Yeah.
But as long as you know who the Lord is,
and
as long as you appreciate what he's done, somehow you're going to feel compelled to live for him and to do the things that he would have you to do, to walk the way he would have you to walk.
Yeah.
Try to accomplish the things that he would have you to accomplish in this body.
Yeah.
Peter said, I don't know how long I'm going to be here,
but as
long as I am here, I'm going to keep preaching and telling you that you need to appreciate what the Lord has done for you. You need to try to live in such a way that all who look upon you will know that you belong to the Lord.
Yeah.
It may not seem like you've been taught before, but you have been.
Yeah.
I told you before. You've heard me before.
My Lord. Yeah.
Because when there is something special about what Peter is saying here, he's letting them know that somehow they need to forget about or recognize some of the traits that they had in the past and see what their new traits are now.
Yeah.
Those things that you had before, you need to let go of those. And in Galatians, we know that Paul talked about those traits. He made a long list of them, and there were some terrible things, and hopefully none of us are involved in any of those. Peter didn't go down the list, but he let us know that you know where you were.
Yeah.
You know what you were doing.
Yeah.
You know how sinful you were.
Yeah.
He didn't go into any detail, but now he didn't go into detail about that, but he wanted to go into some detail about all the things that you should be, all the things that you should do. You should try to be all that Christ would have you to be. Now, that's what he's telling us here.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he wants us to know.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to know that there are some things that we need to do, and you know, as you look at the things that he told them to do, most of it was just growing in faith and growing in experience of being around folks and letting them know who the Lord is, helping people if you can, and all of those. But one of the items that he put in here was temperance. Temperance. Wait a minute, Peter. We know what temperance is, but how is that fit into all these other traits? In Galatians, we know Paul put in temperance also. Why is that there? Why does that fit into all those other traits that are going to grow? Well, temperance, as we've heard it over and over again, is self-control, but it's more than self-control.
Yeah, my Lord.
It's more than that. It's aligning yourself with God's will.
Yeah.
It's aligning yourself with God's way. And anything that's not there, you're not going to do that. You're going to self-control.
Yeah.
You're going to walk away from or stay away from and not get involved in those things. Certainly, temperance is not always used in the biblical sense. Well, sometimes when you think of temperance, maybe think about back during the last century when there was a period called the period of temperance.
Mm-hmm.
And that was all about alcohol. And that was a time when alcohol was hard to get. That there were all kind of laws that kept you from getting it. That was in order to keep you from doing those things that you ought not do. But you know what? It turns out that those folks who wanted it got it anyway. And those folks who provided it got a lot of money. So somehow it didn't really work. But temperance, as we're talking about here, is avoiding those things. You take control of yourself. Don't allow yourself to get involved in those things that are not what God would have us
to
do.
Right.
Sounds easy. But you know the word. Peter says you know the word.
Yeah.
And you have reasons to fight for him, reasons to try to live according to his will. But you know what? Of all the things, all the blessings God has given to us, probably the one that's most difficult for us to handle is our self-control. You see, we know that somehow it's all up to us now. God has given us the opportunity. And he's not going to control us like puppets. It's all up to us. We've got the word. We've got the reason. We know what we should be doing. But it's all up to us. We're the ones who have to control ourselves and control our lives. We get stronger and stronger in the word, but somehow as we get stronger in the word, it just makes us recognize where we stumble. But that's all right, too, because somehow if we recognize where we stumble, that perhaps that will keep us from going that way again.
We
need to realize that the Lord knows all about us, and he has given us all that we need in order for us to be all that he would have us to be. Peter's telling us that. He's given us all that we need, and we ought to be praising him and living according to his will. We ought to be doing the things that he would have us to do. But you know, it doesn't always follow that those who know the Lord are going to do the Lord's will.
That's right.
You see, somehow it seems that I'm sure even among us here, there are some who might say, well, I know the Lord's will, and the Lord knows my my heart.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get it right one of these days. You didn't really take control. Instead, we decided we were going to come up with an excuse for not being all the way we ought to be.
Yeah.
There's so many different things that we might do. Just one of these days, I'm going to get myself straight.
Yeah.
Well, promising to get yourself straight isn't doing what God would have you do. That, you haven't reached out and grabbed a hold and embraced the temperance
right.
yet.
Yeah.
Saying that everyone else is doing this.
Uh-huh.
And this is the way things are now.
Yeah.
So it's okay for me to justify what we're doing because somebody else is doing it.
Yeah.
All kinds of reasons for not aligning ourselves and doing what we know God's will is.
Yeah.
We know what it is.
Yeah.
If we know what it is, we should choose to do His blessed will.
That's right.
We know what He wants, and why should we walk outside of His will? There's somebody was mentioning that earlier today that we know that the Lord would have us to tithe. But somehow we say, well, I can't afford it right now.
Come on, Pastor.
But that's a terrible excuse.
Yeah.
Because if you have less, that just means you have to give less.
That's right.
If you have more than you ought to expect to go ahead and give more. Align yourself with the will. We know what God's will is, and we need to walk and live according to God's will.
Yeah.
And we go back, we find that if we look at some folks in the scriptures who went against God's will, knowingly going against His will.
No.
I can look back at David. David, a man after God's own heart. God blessed him over and over. I say how God blessed me. As I look back, I can see God was blessing David more and more. Every time David got up in the morning, he got him another blessing.
Yeah.
God just blessed him in a mighty, mighty way.
Yeah.
But we all know that David went against God's will.
Yeah.
We know that as he had adultery with another man's wife, Ahab. Ahab, now Ahab wasn't a king who tried to do the Lord's will much. But he knew the Lord's will.
Yeah.
But he didn't even try to do the Lord's will.
Yeah.
He decided that what he would do is go along with the crowd, and he decided to compromise. He decided, these people want to serve the Lord. Well, that's all right, because these folks over here want to serve Baal.
Yeah.
We can make this all work. So he went against God's will.
Yeah.
Some of us are doing the same thing.
Yeah.
We're compromising. We're saying we're going to get ourselves straight later. We're saying we know what God's will is, and God knows who I am. He knows I'm trying. And because of grace, I can do this this one time.
Yeah.
And God will forgive me, and I'll be all right. I can get through this.
Oh, my God.
So many reasons we have for not taking the control, the spiritual control of our lives that we need to.
Yeah.
We know God's will.
Yeah.
We're able to do what God would have us to do.
Yeah.
But we have excuses for not aligning ourselves with the will of God.
We
can look at other folks and say, how many people are going that way? We said that before. That's not a good reason. We can say that there are those who are saying that all of them is in the scripture. That's old fogey. That's not that way. Well, it is that way. God hasn't changed. God won't change. The word is still the word. We live by the word. So we who know, I guess I'm sort of like Peter now. I know you already know what I'm telling you. I'm just bringing it to your remembrance. I'm just bringing it forth to you so you can take hold and control what you can control. Change what you're able to change. Make a difference where you're able to make a difference. Do it God's way. Do it God's way. Align your life with the will of God. Align your life and do the things that God would have you to do. Stop putting it off. Somebody said you're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised the rest of today. You ought to get yourself together and recognize that God has something special for those of us who live in glory after serving Him. Something special about being able to get over on the other side and talk about what the Lord has done in this life. God has provided for us an opportunity for eternal life. Peter said, I know you've heard it. I know you know it, but until I die, I'm going to keep reminding you because you need to make sure that you don't allow this to become insignificant to you. It's important.
Yeah.
It's important.
That's right.
It's important that you remember who the Lord is.
Right.
It's important that you try to align your life with what God would have us to do. It's important that you not allow yourself to go along with a crowd that is not the crowd that's following God. It's important that you separate yourself from those things that God would not have you to do with me. You know, as we talk a little bit about Satan here, yeah, maybe we ought to bring that in. I thought, you know, sometimes, as I heard somebody say earlier, we have friends that are intimate friends. Those are the ones that know all about us. Mm-hmm. Well, we have an intimate enemy. Satan knows all about you. You know, it's kind of good when we say Jesus knows all about you. But it's kind of bad to know that Satan does too. And Satan knows what your weaknesses are. Satan is able to find a thought, to find a way to turn you away from some of the things that you know you ought to be doing. Satan is able to know what's going on in your heart and be able to bring you through his way. We need to hold on to God's way. God knows of who we are. And we know that he said he won't allow the temptation that we go through, those tests that Satan puts in front of us. He won't allow it to be more than we're able to bear. No matter what it is that Satan puts in front of us, no matter how much it might seem like you want to embrace it and hold on to it, no matter what it is, no matter how good Satan is at figuring you out, no matter what that temptation is, how strong it may grow, no matter how much you might feel like, I can't turn it. God, we have a promise. He won't allow the tempter. He won't allow that temptation to be more than you're able to bear. And with each temptation, he'll give you a way. All you have to do is trust him. All you have to do is give yourself over to him. Temperance. Don't go Satan's way. Stay on the track that God will have you stay on. Temperance. Don't allow yourself to go and be what the world is. You want to be what the Lord would have. You want to be temperance. It's your will, your will, your will, your strength that causes you to be able to get through all that Satan puts up against you. Don't think Satan's going to stop trying. Don't think he's going to give up on you. But we know that if you reject him, that he'll leave you. But that's only for a while. He knows your weakness. He knows your needs. He knows what you want. He even tried Jesus. When Jesus was hungry, after 40 days, he said, I know
you're hungry.
Why don't you just make these rocks into bread?
That's right.
But Jesus used the word of God to let him know, I'm not going that way. We need to know that we have the same word.
Yes, sir.
We have God's word.
Yes, sir.
What we need to do is align our lives, align ourselves. To the word of God. Don't allow Satan to get you off track.
Hallelujah.
Don't allow Satan to turn you into something that you're not.
Yes.
Because what you are is a child of God.
Hallelujah.
Don't allow Satan to be the one who causes you to give up and to try not to, and even to stop trying to be all that God would have you be. One of the things that happens often, I suppose, is when somebody gets off track and they've lost a couple of battles with Satan. They feel, well, he's got me now. And but you know what? It works the other way, too. Every victory that you have over Satan, makes you stronger. I can handle these battles. I can handle these trials. I can make this way my way through all of this. God has given me all I need in order to make it.
That's right.
And there's a song where it yield not to temptation. It says, yield not to temptation. Satan's going to try. Yield not to temptation. Because yielding is sin. Yielding it, being tempted is a sin. Satan's going to do that. That's his job. Yield not to temptation, but yielding is sin. And each victory that you have, each victory will help you another one to win. So just keep fighting. Keep recognizing. You need to hold on to God's will and God's way. Align yourself with the God of the universe. Align yourself and let those around you know, I'm on the Lord's side. I'm going to do it His way.
Yeah.
I'm going to live as God would have me live.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to yield. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be what God would have me to be.
Yeah.
I recognize that I need to hold on.
Mm.
And it's up to me. All those gifts and all the fruit help us. But we need to have that strong will, that strong determination to live up to what God has enabled us to live up to.
Yeah.
Be what God would have you to be.
That's right.
Somebody's stopping right now thinking, yes, I guess maybe I've been not quite doing all I should do to stay off the path Satan's trying to put me on.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I stepped off of the path that God would have me to be on. And I just put off a little while trying to be what He would have me to be.
My Lord.
Or I've had some excuses for all the things that I've done that are outside of the will of God.
My Lord. Mm.
You don't have a good excuse. There is no excuse.
No excuse.
Whatever you're facing, God has provided a way for you to get through it.
Yes, sir.
In other words, God has allowed you
Hallelujah.
To have a way to take over the control.
Yeah.
Take it back from Satan.
Yeah.
Walk according to God's will.
Yeah.
Take it back from Satan.
Yeah.
Control your own life.
Yes, right.
Do what God would have you to do. Take it back.
Yes, sir.
Take control.
Yes, sir.
Take control.
Yeah.
Take full control. Preference. Taking control and putting yourself in God's hands. Let us talk to the Lord. Our Father and our loving God, we thank you, Father.
Thank you, God.
That somehow as we come together on this day, the message is not the same message, but somehow I feel like it's a message that needs to be said often. Because Peter reminded those who he was speaking to that as long as he lived, he was going to keep reminding them of how blessed they were,
mm-hmm.
how they already knew the word,
yes, Lord.
And how somehow the things that they were doing, they needed to do based on the love they had for the Lord, growing stronger and stronger in Him, establishing a better and better relationship with the God of the universe. So, Father, right now we ask in the precious name of Jesus
Christ
that all who are here might feel what those who listened to Peter heard, might feel the same thing that I need to try harder and take control.
Yeah.
Take control of my life. Pull it back from Satan and realize he can't control me. His recommendations, his ideas, the temptations that he puts out ahead of me can't put me into a situation that I can't handle. So, Father, we ask now in the precious name of Jesus Christ that each one who's here might look at themselves, look at their lives, and look at the things that they are doing and determine whether they have allowed Satan to get them off track, have allowed Satan to take control over their lives. We bless you, Father. We thank you, Father. We love you, Father, for all the wonderful things you have done and do in our lives. And so we're going to align our lives to your will and to your way. Thank you for Jesus.
Yes,
thank you for salvation.
Yes.
Thank you for an opportunity to just come together and praise you and praise the Lord. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, God.
For all these things in the precious name, the powerful, the adorable name of Jesus Christ, we pray.